Welcome back to Blank Canvas. I'm Diana Sands.
And I'm Douglas Barkey.
And you're in studio with Avia Wright, curator, and of course, Kendra Froa, artist. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue this conversation.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the whole your reputation as a hoarder. I want to follow up on that. It's because you're hoarding certain things, right? You're collecting certain things. It seems that your choices of objects to combine are tongue-in-cheek. They're unexpected artifacts. Mm-hmm. Many of them are found objects or castings of found objects also. And I'm imagining your studio filled with all these random objects that you've collected over time and that you're constantly sorting through and finding relationships. So I'm curious about, you know, what attracts you to these items to begin with, or what attracts items to each other? Like, how do you bring them together? Does the combination happen all at once, or is it like a painting that you create and then you add an object to it?
Both. Sometimes I create a two-dimensional work of art. I'm constantly printing. Painting is, I print more than I paint. I'm a frustrated painter. But I'm constantly printing it. At any given time, I have about 50 prints in the making, okay? And so at some moment, like my hoarding, I pull them out. And then I think about the objects that I have around me. Something may trigger the reason for me using specific objects. And then I combine them.
She rests them on them and then leaves it there in the studio there. And then she comes and looks at it again, turns her head to the side, does a chuckle if she likes it or whatever, and moves it, put it on somewhere else, you know, and like it sits there for a while until she decides, okay, that's definitely where that's supposed to go. Yeah. That's what happens.
Some objects are really immediate. Somebody asked me, what was the most unusual thing that you collected? The gloves from Duran Duran. That was very unusual. I have no interest in boxing. I don't know many boxers. But I bought them because of the color, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I use them immediately. Sometimes I have things that I have had for 10 years, 20 years, and I've never used them, struggle to use them, because sometimes the objects have such baggage that it's difficult to use. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so Duran Duran, the boxing gloves, that was the most unusual thing for me, but it was the most immediate thing. You know, mm-hmm. I had this urge. So I like to live with things in my space. Sometimes I'll pull them from storage and put them in a space and sort of live with them. And subconsciously, I'm looking at them. And then there are things that are just really bold, and they're instigators. They're like, look, you know, today's our day, and you're going to use plates forever, you know. So,
Use me. Put me somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's often an intuitive kind of response.
It is.
And also you're absorbing all those objects, and sort of it's in your mind, and then you eventually assemble them together. Yeah.
The best feeling is walking away from the studio late at night and driving home. I have a long drive home. Driving home, and I can't wait to get back the next day because of an object or something. That's like the best feeling.
That's a great feeling. You know, so driving back home and commuting, I know you must be a very busy woman because you have a commitment to the university, your professor at the University of Tampa, to your students as their teacher, to the work of creating your art, and then to your family and friends. How do you keep growing as an artist given these many activities and interests?
I have a lovely, patient husband.
All right. Oh,
my husband and I are totally opposites. My daughter is an artist, and so my family, what I really do want to say is my family is really supportive. My mom, before her passing, didn't understand my work, but she was my biggest fan. My dad was also a huge fan. And so I have this supportive community of people that keep me, that put up with me. I'm a studio rat. I am in the studio. I'm really pretty prolific. I'm in the studio always. Even when I'm teaching, there are moments between classes that I'm working. And it's a good thing. We talked about this a little bit before the show. It's a good thing for students to see you work. Mm-hmm. I know I've had that experience with Avia. It's a good thing for students to see you work because, one, it builds confidence. Two, it creates sort of this dialogue about art, I think, which is really important for students to have that dialogue, constant dialogue in the work visually and in conversation verbally.
Yeah.
And so I'm working in the studio. The university is my studio. And so the students are able to see me to work as I balance teaching home and my studio.
So I guess a good question would be, from your support system, do you use them as as a muse, or are they actively part, like your family, your husband? Do they participate in your art in any way?
My husband does not get it at all. But I will say he's been my hand model recently. He has velvet hands. He's a banker, and so he has velvet hands, and he says it's because he takes care of them. But anyway, he has velvet hands. My daughter is also an artist. She's a good writer, but she's studying visual art at American University. And she's always willing, able. We have great conversations. She's always in the studio helping with my projects. And so she's curious about it. Yeah. So I drag them in. If I'm stuck in installing, my husband will help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. That's interesting. And I kind of want to go back to the question about your students, too, because mm-hmm. you're talking about a very integrated sort of balance of your time, because one of the things about being an artist and a sculptor is the amount of time simply that you have to put in. It's not like you can stop, work 30 minutes and go do something else. You know, you're in there several hours working. And I know how important teaching is to you. We've talked about it, and you've mentored so many students. And we have graduates from the University of Bahamas, for example, that go and work with you at the University of Tampa. So that's a fantastic connection that they have and are making. But tell me, why do you teach? Why? How did you get started? What is the attraction there?
The attraction, the most exciting thing about teaching is to see that light bulb, that light go on. You know, to have a student come in. This is the ultimate experience, is when you have the student come in that's just as green as could be, and by the time they leave, they don't want to leave. You know, mm-hmm. that's the ultimate for me. I enjoy the curiosity of the students. I enjoy the relationship with the mm-hmm. students. You know, it's really fulfilling. I enjoy what I do, and it's even the students that are not art majors. Mm-hmm. I enjoy seeing them bring their own personal, and I encourage it, bringing their own interest to the field. Mm-hmm. And so I get a lot of science students. They're incredible students. The processing art and science is a great combination. And so that's why I teach. It's watching young adults grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really, really exciting. And I reflect back on myself. You know, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Right, right.
So
I think it keeps her whimsical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. Students keep me. So one of the things I do in my classroom is, this is, I'm going off topic here.
No, you're right on topic.
One of the things I do in my classroom is I have a speaker, and so I'm horrible about music. And so the kids, I'm like, look, you know, bring your music. Bluetooth is great, so every now and then someone will Bluetooth some music in. And so I say to my daughter, hey, I've been listening to blah, 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 something. And she's like, how'd you know about that? I'm like, hey. You know? So the kids keep me young also. You know, mm-hmm. this generation or this group of students that's passing through right now in music, in technology, they help me grow as an artist also. Mm-hmm.
That's the flip side of it.
You know, Instagram as a means of mm-hmm. Keeping yourself socially out there in the art world. Laser printing and mm-hmm. 3D printing. Mm-hmm. These kids come in with that into the mm-hmm. at the college level.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
With that experience.
You know, when university instructors are hired for their expertise, right? Not necessarily for having a background in teaching. And so I want to take you back to your first year in teaching for a minute. Ooh. And that process of discovery, because you really, when you start, you're shaping yourself as an educator, because you're going from being a graduate school focused on creating the art, and then suddenly now you're in the position of having to teach others about it. Are there any moments you recall that were special, you know, when you were able to help your class or student make a discovery, a leap forward, or perhaps some have some kind of distinctive assignments that you might want to share that help your students open up to all the possibilities that they have in sculpture?
There's a moment. I don't know if there's I guess it's a positive moment. There is a moment I had the student that was really ambitious, and she wanted to make this piano, and she wanted to make it play. And so I spent a full week getting home at 3 and 4 in the morning. And the whole time she was like, oh, can I get coffee? You know, was procrastinating.
With her on this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that was the moment where I learned where to put the line in the sand.
Yes.
So that was that kind of moment. In terms of, I've had some great students. I had a student, Jeff Gibbons, mm-hmm. wonderful student. He was prolific. I would look forward to coming in every day to a new sculpture. Oh, my goodness. Literally made one. He was like a night owl.
Yeah.
He would every night he would make a piece, and I'd come in, and there was a new sculpture. And he's a pretty good artist. There was a student, Cor Faringer. He was just out there. But yeah, I mean, there's certain students that come in that I can reflect and think back on. Moments, I remember one day I was in class and just totally forgetting where I was. It was an art appreciation class. And I thought, oh gosh, and I had this frozen moment. This was like my first month of teaching. Mm-hmm. And so it's totally frozen. So I said, excuse me, I'll step out for a second. I gathered and came back in again. So, yeah, I've grown through that.
So you've taught art appreciation. That's
really
fascinating.
I've done that also.
How did you, how do you get people, art appreciation has everybody come in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to open up to art? I mean, do you have an assignment or anything? How do you get them to get that spark going where they just suddenly get it, you know?
So one of the things that, one of my strengths in teaching is that I'm personable and I get to know each student. Mm-hmm. The great thing about the University of Tampa, the class sizes are relatively small. Mm-hmm. So there's no more than 15, 20 students in a classroom. And so I try to find out what their interest is. I speak to their interests. And so knowing them individually helps. Mm-hmm. So you start to speak to them. And then as an individual, I speak to the sciences. I speak to the business. These are mm-hmm. big areas of the university. So you get this diverse group of students. And once you can tap into what their specific interests are, then mm-hmm. you can engage them and make them feel comfortable in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Sculpture is a really difficult course to teach because there's a skill set that mm-hmm. one needs to have. There's a vocabulary skill mm-hmm. set that one needs to have. And so once you get students confident that they can do it and that you're willing to grow with them and they can come outside of the classroom, in office hours, then you can get their interest and their respect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Well, and we have one of your students here in the studio with us.
Yes.
So
a good one.
Yes.
Really, really good one.
Any observations?
Everything she says is true. It's definitely a one-on-one situation with Kendra. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that with most professors. It's kind of like, okay, this is the assignment and do the assignment. But no, you get your particular assignment for you.
Yeah.
With her. It's definitely, okay, so what do you want to tell me about yourself for? You know what I mean? What we want people to know about you. And then your assignment comes from whatever that conversation, how it holds. So it's definitely a one-on-one. And I think that's all a part of, like you say, her personality really comes out. And it allows the person to feel comfortable enough to let their personality shine through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And actually, there's some educational pieces that are part of the show. Do you want to share one of those at least?
Yes. One of the educational programmings. One of the things that's important to me is I'm from here. I want community involvement. And so one of the things that we'd like to do is create this large woodcut that the community will be encouraged to come in and be a part of and do some wood carving into a form. And then we want to take a steamroller and actually print that print and maybe several copies of that print.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one, it would be a collaborative thing for the community, and two, it'd be some sort of record for the space, for the NAGB itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. For the National Collection.
Yeah. For the National Collection. Yeah, so that's really important. I encourage you. The second piece that's a community collaboration is really exciting and interesting to me. It's collecting china. One of the things that I do is I collect china. It's an heirloom. It's supposedly precious. And I know that's a really common thing here. Every household has this china closet. And so I'm encouraging members of the community to donate a piece, and then using a technique or something called augmented reality, we'll project on it. So it's using new technology with this sort of old form of collecting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should talk more about that after the break because
okay.
There's a lot of like technological advancements that you're using in the show, and I think that deserves a lot more mm-hmm. discussion or, you know.
Okay.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll continue this exciting discussion, but don't forget that the NAGB has a beautiful campus that is available for event rentals, and you can view it But check us out on www.nhub.org.bs. Our operating hours are 10 to 5 Tuesday to Saturdays and 12 noon to 5 p.m. on Sundays. We're closed Mondays and holidays. See you soon.